from the inkwells of yore, to the digital screens of today, the kids present the comic book character of the month.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Thanks, Dungeon Master, and welcome back, kids, and thanks for listening as we continue our month-long celebration of Dungeons and Dragons 50th anniversary with our read of Dungeons and Dragons, The Forgotten Realms. And in this episode, we will be discussing the story arc Triangles. And here to help me review Triangles is Doc. Doc, how are you?
I'm great, Angus. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. Doing fantastic. And man, I'm again so glad you're taking the journey this month as we are reading the Forgotten Realms. And in our previous episode, we had reminded everyone of who we have on board, the Realms Master, the ship, the crew. And we delved into a little bit of the background of Jeff Grubb and Rex Morales. And in this episode, I'd like to open up with a little discussion about a very interesting story. And it's one of events that happened, that took place. And this was chronicled by Ben Riggs, who had recently, within the past couple of years, wrote a fantastic book that captured what had happened from 1985 until the time in which TSR was sold to Wizards of the Coast. And that book is called Slaying the Dragon, A Secret History of Dungeons and Dragons. And era of TSR that truly ends up being overlooked a lot of the time. There's a wonderful biography done by Michael Whitwer out there about Gary Gygax. And that really chronicles Gary and his time developing TSR and Dungeons and Dragons, and then his ouster. But then once he's ousted, he goes on to do other things. Well, there's still a company here that he helped found that would continue on for quite a long time until it was sold eventually to Wizards of the Coast. And Ben went about this novel by interviewing employees of TSR and capturing all that was happening at the particular time. Now, Gary Gygax in the early 80s had made his way out to the West Coast to set up TSR Entertainment, and they would be responsible for the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. Gary was also on the West Coast to try to shop movie deals to get a Dungeons & Dragons movie started. Well, out of establishing that entertainment wing, there would be the emergence of TSR West. And this was headed up by Flint Dilley, who happened to be the brother of the president of TSR, who had ousted Gary Gygax. But what's interesting about this is that Flint and Gary, along with the Gygax family, were all on very good terms. It seems that the Lorraine Williams, who was the president of TSR, she is the heir to the entire Buck Rogers IP. And when she came on board in TSR and bought in enough of a stake in the company to eventually seize control, she had this Buck Rogers IP that she wanted to see fully realized. Well, funny little thing happened in the late 80s. TSR licensed a number of its properties to DC, which made comic books based on that IP, and we're reading one right now, The Forgotten Realms. The comics did well, and actually they sold on par, Doc, with the titles like Wonder Woman, which is no small feat.
No.
So this comics deal on the surface appeared to be a hit for TSR. It was exposing their brand to a new market and selling well for the licensee, DC Comics. Now, DC put out a Gamma Rotters comic as well as a Spelljammer comic, and they were working on producing a Ravenloft comic. But TSR said, you know what? We really want to be ourselves in the comics business. And we're going to try to bring the Buck Rogers IP to comics. So the powers that be over at DC really weren't interested in a Buck Rogers comic. So what ended up happening is TSR developed their own line of comics, calling them comics modules. This is their way of trying to get around calling it a comic book. Well, what made this comics module unique? It had a small game in it, but essentially, Doc, it was a series of sequential art. So, nice try, TSR. What this ended up doing was basically exciting a lot of lawyers, and lawsuits started flying, and very quickly, these modules got pulled off the market and died. Matter of fact, right now, I think you can go on eBay and easily pick up some of these for a very cheap price, just as a piece of history or nostalgia. So there you go. There's a little background, a little history here of why this DC-TSR relationship was so short-lived, and why we only got 25 issues here of this fantastic series of the Forgotten Realms. So let's get into it. Let's take a look at our story here for Triangles. Doc, what was your general impression of Triangles? This is a very interesting set of stories within a larger arc. In stories, this Triangles, you had Priam tries to track down a hunchback, Jasmine, with a familiar face on the streets of Cerulean. Jasmine does her best to evade, and a ship of wizards arrives from Halrua to arrest Omen, Captain Omen. Lady Ray, a bar that caters exclusively to female adventurers, is also introduced. And each one of these Triangles issue has its own distinct flavor to it. It's interesting. I found this to be a different approach to an arc. But before I go any further, let me hand it over to you to provide your general impressions of this story, Triangles.
I would agree with you with what you just were saying, that it's definitely like we just finished reviewing the previous arc, which was the Who's Killing the Dragons in the Land. And it was two very, very different stories. Almost feels like it's a different writer. And I think that goes a lot to his talent as a writer, because he can do different kind of stories and it doesn't all feel the same. It's not all paced the same. I think this one was a little bit slower paced, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a really intriguing story. It's definitely a more detailed story than the previous arc that we went over. I don't think I liked it as much as the previous arc, but there are definitely plots in the story. Like, I really love the character Jasmine that was introduced. I think she added a lot to their group dynamic and everything. And but I think overall the story didn't grab me quite as much as the previous arc, but I still enjoyed it a lot. And the artwork, it just seems to get better and better as the issues go along. So I really appreciated the artwork for it. It just looks, you can almost see him maturing as each issue goes by. And so I really enjoyed that about it. But overall, I did enjoy the story. It was different pace and everything. And I think I just enjoyed the pacing of the previous arc a little bit more.
Yeah, I concur with you, Doc. This one felt like Jeff decided to dial back on a bit of the action and delve a little more into the lore of the realm. And when I say action, this does not lack for violent conflict at all. There is certainly that in here. But what you get are a series of panels where you have our adventurers in an urban setting, and they are finding their way through the streets and the establishments within the city. And from that standpoint, it's entertaining. You get to see a lot of very colorful characters, from the shopkeepers to the heads of the various taverns that they delve into. You see creatures in here, everything from a beholder to marauders of various types and swashbucklers, and it's really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The Symbian city of Serloon is gorgeous. And I think Rags Morales does a fantastic job of capturing that urban environment here. I thoroughly enjoyed the scenery that he was drawing in this particular issue. And I also agree, Doc, the introduction of Jasmine, who's actually a winged female human who first appears here in the Triangles arc. And she is a pretty cool character. I was like, okay, this really is a welcome addition. I mean, there's so many times where a writer will try to shoehorn a character in and have them come in to just, mix it up or add a little variation to the social dynamic of a group. Jeff Grubb from the get-go proved himself to be very adept at taking previously established characters, such as his own characters that he brought in from Azure Bonds, Alias and Dragon Bait, to then introducing a totally different character here, Jasmine, and making her relevant, just like he had made them, meaning Alias and Dragon Bait, relevant to the first story. I mean, Jasmine is fully integrated and key to this story arc, even to the point where one of the arcs is named after her. So from that standpoint, hey, I tip my hat to Jeff Grubb for not forcing something. And I think, Doc, the slower pacing here is as a result of Jeff taking care to introduce this character and have these relationships unfold within the panels of the book. And, this is not unlike what one experiences when you're role-playing back and forth around a table. So I get it from a pacing standpoint. I think, so much in today's terms, we're living in an era of not only instant gratification and, 3 seconds of attention spans here, but, we were in the height of cutscenes here, and music videos and things of that nature coming out of the 80s. And, the short form being a very attractive way to go as far as, let's distill this down to its essential elements and go, but yeah, and make it lots of action. I didn't mind as much the slower pacing, but I agree with you. This is definitely slower pacing. I think that it was another editorial decision by Grubb to say, we're introducing this character. I want to make sure that she's relevant. And let's also work on the social dynamics here within our already established party. So there you go. But that's kind of my take on it.
The, saying that it's a little slower pace was in no ways meant to be a criticism of it. It's just paced differently. That's it.
And it is.
You said there was a lot more story he was trying to tell in this one than the previous arc. So for sure. Yeah. And I think if he didn't take the time, I think Jasmine would have felt like kind of a throwaway character. Oh, she's going to be around for a couple issues and she's gone again. So I think it was smart that he did that because she was, or she is a character that was worth exploring and really, like you said, kind of like embedding her into this group dynamic that's already been established. So it was I think it was really well done. It's just like you said, it's just, you know, I think the it just grabbed me more that the Dragon Slayer one. And so that was just really fun. But this is definitely it's still a great read. I still recommend it because it does have, it's just great storytelling in general.
Yeah, I concur with you. And the other thing that which grabbed me here from an artwork perspective, and I think we've done a fairly good job so far of not blowing the plots of the story arcs. You owe it to yourselves to go read these. There's a reason why we selected this particular series here to commemorate 50 years of Dungeons & Dragons. It's a great series. But from an art standpoint, the flying ship, Doc, that we see here in the Rivals issue within this story arc is amazing. I was like, wow. Right. Not only did Rags capture an incredible urban environment, but now this beautiful drawing of this flying ship and being on board it and everything that's going on. And then we get back to, the Realms Master too. And he's nailed that too. It's not easy to master architecture of not only buildings, but then marine architecture here, of ship detail. He seems like his talents know no bounds. And I can't, again, give more higher praise to Rags than that. Hey, Doc, something we haven't touched on, but really stands out to me, is how about the looks of some of these characters? And in particular, Dwalemore Omen, whose hair itself defies logic. You know, if a mage could put his finger into a light socket and have this, you know, beautiful white silvery hair that looks like a bulbed afro, it's amazing. It is so cool. And he
almost, and sometimes it looks like an aura, like a halo around.
Yes. It completely defies logic. It's great. So he's like, how did he get his hair that way? Well, he's a magician. He's a mage. He's a magic user. He's a wizard. So it's really, really cool and makes him very distinctive from all the other characters in this book. There's no doubt that, you know, we chose Dwalemore Omen as our comic book character of the month for a reason. And not only is it because he is the captain here of the Realms Master, but at the same time, man, he just looks cool. And he is indeed the prime mover, the central focus, the grounding, the foundation of this series. So, Doc, any last impressions or recommendations as it relates to the Triangles arc?
I don't know if I'm completely sold on his like little short little robe that he wears, Omen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm 100% sold on that, but other than that, I think he looks his role. He looks like, you know, he's the boss and he is like an old wise mage and all that kind of stuff. So the characters themselves individually are just so fantastic. Yeah, the paladin looks a little bit, he looks kind of like your typical kind of superhero kind of look to him, which is understandable, but like the elf and they look great. And overall, I think the story is, there's a lot to enjoy in the story, especially if you just really enjoy good storytelling. I mean, it's, and then you pair that with some amazing art, and it's, you can't miss with it. And again, if you're not crazy about it, it's like three issues and you get this really complete story and that's setting up some future issues as well. So, I think it's a win all around for this arc.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.